Welcome to The Thriving Marriage, the podcast for those who want to get their spouse back in love with them and truly thrive.
You'll learn why 95% of people don't save their marriage and the secret method no one else is talking about that will change everything for you. Are you ready?
Are you ready?
Let's turn tragedy to triumph.
Here are your hosts, international marriage experts, Mark Johnston and Heather Choate.
Welcome, welcome everyone here at the Thriving Marriage Podcast, our podcast number 6. I'm here with Mark Johnston. How are you doing today, Mark?
I'm doing well. How about you?
Fabulous. I'm really, really excited for this topic, which is about changing the story and getting our spouse back in love with us. My son, who is 11, was watching over my shoulder the past hour or so as I was working on some High Thrive stuff. He saw me work on ads and replying to comments and replying to some messages. And he's just fascinated by business in general. And then he saw me come over here to our podcast outline and he was reading a title and he was like, change the story and get them back in love with you. And he's like, well, what does that mean? So I explained, well, all of us, we have a story that we tell ourselves about ourselves. And we have a story, and we'll go into what that means and here in a little bit, about our spouse, right? And he's like, well, isn't it fixed? Like, how do you just change the story? Isn't it once it's a story, it's just the way it's going to be? And I thought that was a perfect question as we lead into our topic today, because so many people think, oh, well, if that's the way my spouse thinks, that's just the way it is. If my spouse says they don't love me, then there's nothing I can do. If my spouse says they want out and they're done, that must be it. There's really nothing else I can do. And bottom line is, too many people give up way too soon. So I explained to him how on the pencil, you have the lead, you also have the eraser for a reason. When we are typing on our devices, there's always the backspace, right? There's always the edit and delete. And so even if a story seems really fixed right now, and it seems really solid, we always have the opportunity to revise it and to create a new story, which is what we're going to talk about today. So we're really excited to share with you. We call it a secret method because honestly, Mark and I, we've been doing this for years and we've helped thousands and thousands of couples all around the world to save their marriage. But this is something that we kind of stumbled upon almost by accident. It wasn't something that we were really aware of. And now that we've implemented into our PATH process, in fact, it's a fundamental piece of our PATH process. It's changed everything for us, right, Mark?
Everything for
our clients.
This is a, like Heather is saying, it is a huge part of what goes on here. And, you know, if I had to really describe what the biggest obstacle to getting someone back, it is about shifting this story here, changing the story. So, we can't stress enough the importance of this sort of thing here.
Yeah. And so this is something that is newer to our method and it's absolutely made a profound difference. And it's something that really no one else is talking about. So you're going to get some really good insider stuff that's going to make a powerful shift for you. But before we get to that, we always like to start with our client win of the week. And I'm actually going to do a bonus one because we had two and I couldn't pick. They were both so fabulous. So the first comes from Angie. This is her newest win. I've been watching win after win come in from Angie as she's been working on it. And she even calls baby steps. But she says this, things seem to be improving day after day. Baby steps, right? We've had nothing but positive communications daily for a couple of weeks now. I do not bring up the relationship talk, but he is doing it. The compliments keep coming in. He told me that I look amazing and that he is proud of me and that he will always be concerned about me and want to take care of me no matter what is going on with us. Here's the important part. In her own words, his narrative has finally shifted and he is seeing the possibility of us being together again could actually be real. And then she says, thank you all for the support. You keep me walking off the ledge so often, keep me from walking off the ledge so often, and keep me grounded in knowing what I have to do to make sure he feels safe and is encouraged to come home. So I just had to highlight that part here, Angie, that the narrative has finally shifted. And we're going to go into that here in the podcast. Now, there was a comment someone asked Andy here, and I think this is probably on everyone's mind if you're in this kind of situation where your spouse is pushing for divorce or separation or just checked out. And they asked, what are some of the changes you made that led to this? And her answer was, I definitely listened to all of his narrative about what went wrong and worked on all of those things. Patience and consistency and letting him see the changes has been huge. And not bringing up our relationship or the other woman, in this case there was an affair, has helped. Just letting go and letting our friendship rebuild. He called me dear twice this week. So this is beautiful. And we're going to dissect kind of what she's talking about here for you all to see how it looks full picture. Now, our bonus win. Our bonus win comes from Trish. And she left this post here. And she said, there are many marriages, including mine, that have been in abysmal situations that High Thrive Coaching has turned around. Heather and Mark know their stuff. Their team is truly the ICU for marriage rescue. All you need is your own willingness to want to save your marriage more than anything and work this program. So I just want to send out a huge High Thrive and a huge congratulations to both Angie and Trish for applying this method. And now you're seeing the positive results as you've been consistent with it. So Mark, going into this narrative, I mean, Angie talked about the narrative that her husband has. What are some of the most common narratives or stories that we see spouses say when they want out of a relationship?
You know, that's a really good question. And I was actually giving this a lot of thought because I like examining the process and I like seeing, okay, how do I distill all this information to really easily follow, you know, the ability to easily follow some of these things. And so when it comes to relationships, and you might hear me clicking, I'm actually pulling up something else because I was actually just writing about this for another part of our program. I categorize it into like a few different things here. I think these are the most common, especially in terms of, a lot of areas. I don't think this just applies to marriage, but, I think one of the things that gets in the way is this idea of the impossible problem. Here's this problem that can't be solved. Nothing can happen. There's nothing we can do anymore. And I imagine some of you have probably heard this sort of idea that, okay, this is too far gone. We can't do anything. I'll see this in issues of like loss of love. They'll say, well, you know, we've lost that love. We can't do anything about it anymore. You know, people will talk about how we're better off without each other. We're just too incompatible. That last one there, we're just too incompatible. And do you hear that? Like how they say, well, we're too incompatible. And so there's nothing to be done. Another one, what I call the impenetrable wall. This is the idea that we can't even get past basic problems such as intense arguments, name calling, high tension, shutting down. And so why bother doing anything? I actually find this one's a little bit easier to shift because just some small changes, just calming things down really gets rid of this one quickly. But I do hear this a lot. They'll say, you know, we argue too much. I can't even have a conversation with my spouse. They just keep shutting off. And so there's, you know, we can't get past this point. So there's nothing to be done. These are just slight variations on each other, but I will even hear this with our own clients more. Like my spouse won't talk to me. I'm losing hope here. There's nothing to be done with this. And I can hear themselves talking themselves out of working things through. We also have what I call the unconquerable fear. This is the idea that whatever is coming is going to be bad. It's too difficult to deal with. This is when people are really very, very avoidant. They don't want to, you know, even touch upon any amount of blame or being able to face their problems. They think it's terrible to think of yourself as wrong or the bad guy, or as though maybe your concerns are valid. And if they open up, it's just going to hurt. So they anticipate so much pain here that they're not even willing to go near this sort of thing. And so they won't even touch it with a 10-foot pole. And this is this also this is a little bit harder of one because, you know, if it's so hard for them to even face it, really calming things down and making things safe becomes a bit of a challenge. But I find if you can get past that little hump there and make it safe, well, all the better. And then the last one category that I've noticed in working on these problems is the inevitable outcome. Like no matter what I do, I know what's going to happen. And I most often hear it, especially in this context, like changes might happen, but it's not going to be permanent. We're always going to come back to the way things were. Mm. But yeah, these four things, these are the ones that I most often see in dealing with and working with directly with clients, with people working on their marriages. This, you know, once again, the impossible problem, the impenetrable wall, the unconquerable fear, or the inevitable outcome.
I love it. So how we found this, right? Let's give a little bit of a backstory, a little bit of perspective, and give some clarity to what we're talking about with the story at all. Like, what is a story and why is it so important that we know what their story is and then change it, right? Mm-hmm. So Mark, we've been working with, like I said, thousands of couples all around the world. And one thing that we noticed after working with so many people and helping them to save their marriages and working with them is that without like fail, every single person that was pulling away had a story, right? A narrative that was justifying their reasons for leaving, mm-hmm. right? Is there any other thing that we could bring as clarity about what a story is and why it's so important that we uncover what their story is so that then we can start to change it?
In terms of clarity, like it's hard to really pinpoint exactly what it is because it always comes in different forms. I think almost invariably it will come down to one of those four categories we talked about. But, you know, it might, like I said, I gave some examples. It might be them saying, I love you, but I'm not in love with you. And then, you know, you hear, I can almost hear what's left unsaid. And those feelings can't change.
Right.
It's that little, sometimes I describe it as like the, I was just talking about this the other day. I was running through the Path Live program and talking about perspective versus narrative. And I this narrative portion is almost like the explanation for what's happening. It's kind of the rules that are governing what's going on. Like, yeah, we could do this, but it's just too hard. It's that explanation, I think, is the perfect explanation for what this is.
Right. We got some great comments here from our Facebook group, The Thriving Marriage, as we're streaming this podcast live. Some of the stories that you're hearing, which is really good awareness. And I want to acknowledge you guys for being aware of what the stories are. The new one is irreconcilable differences. Mm-hmm. She says that we can't talk without arguing, right? So that's the story that she's ingrained in her mind. We cannot talk without arguing, right? And so it's really crucial because that we change that story, because if we don't, it's so ingrained in them that that's all they will see. And here it goes into, it's never going to change and there's nothing you can do. And disbelieving the changes that are being made. So oftentimes what happens is our spouse is pulling away and we start getting into action and making a lot of positive changes. Maybe we go to our counselor and they say, you know, go on more dates, be more affectionate, work on this, right? And so we get into a lot of action mode and our spouse says, I don't believe the changes are real. I don't believe they're going to stick. Mm-hmm. I don't believe that if I come back to you, that they're going to last. I think things are just going to go back to the way they were. And that right there is what showed us, Mark and I, the power of those stories. And that until we change those stories, nothing else in the relationship can change. And trying to make those positive changes without changing the story will only lead to exhaustion and burnout.
Yeah, I think, you're talking about how we stumbled on this. And, you know, earlier on when I was building up this program, I kept running into this situation where we would have complaints. Like a client would come in, they say, well, my spouse doesn't like X, Y, and Z. We'd say, great, let's work on changing X, Y, and Z. And, you know, I'd check in, I'd hold the client accountable, I'd make sure that these were really solid changes. And they'd come back to me and they'd say, well, my spouse just doesn't believe me. So I got to thinking, well, yes, there's a large component of actually making changes, of communicating better, but there's this extra component here that we've been talking about, that you've been talking about, Heather, that we were missing. And this is what it's all about.
Right. So let's give a bit of a disclaimer here, because now we're going to go into how to change the story. Now that we know what the story is, we know why it's so important, and we know that we need to change it in order to make actual progress in the relationship. There's a bit of a disclaimer here, Mark.
Yes. So the disclaimer is, you know, that your spouse has probably been building up this story for a long time. Otherwise, they would not be pulling away. They've been convincing themselves that this is the correct path. And with that said, sometimes it does take a long time to turn this around. I generally find, when repairing, if it's been a long-standing problem, like in many cases with marriage has been, you need to have lengthen your process, or you need to have huge, huge shifts in circumstances. So the times when I do see that it turns around quickly, it's because people have like given up careers because they had, years refused therapy, but, have dove in headfirst into making some of these. These are the times when it turns around more quickly. But other than that, the disclaimer is this may be a long process. The tips that we're going to be providing here are not something you do once and you say, I tried that, it doesn't work. It's going to take consistency and time. And, a big part of this is working on yourself and making sure that you can be that calm person, that rock in the relationship.
Yeah. So that's really important to know, that we had the right expectation, because Mark and I can give you this high level overview and we'll talk about it here and share it with you in like 45 minutes. And then you'll think, okay, great. And you go and try it for like a day and you're like, oh, the results didn't happen. If we go back to our client wins, right, with Angie and Trish, they talked about they're both being consistent long term. Mm-hmm. Angie was talking about weeks of nothing but positive interactions, not talking about the other woman, not talking about the relationship. And now he's the one that's bringing it up. So it's kind of that push-pull. She has taken the pressure off, and now her husband is naturally being drawn toward her. It didn't happen overnight. It happens with time. And that's actually going to lead into our final piece of the restoration equation, our PATH method, which we'll talk about next week. So let's dive in.
Yeah, like you're saying, like even for Angie, it took maybe weeks of positive engagement. But, I would even say that is a, on this kind of level of problems, that might even be considered a quick turnaround. And so this might be months. I have seen situations, especially with some consistency, turnaround, might have taken a year or sometimes a little bit more. But just we want to set that expectation that, okay, but the thing is, no matter what, if you go ahead and you start implementing a lot of the changes that we talk about here, and other podcasts, you're going to be better off anyway, just yourself. But anyways, why don't we dive into this? And I think where I wanted to start with this is just a bit of an explanation about, how people make decisions here. Because I get the impression that sometimes when people are trying to convince their spouse, they go about it the wrong way.
Absolutely.
The big thing here, I don't know about you. I mean, you and I, Heather, we talk a lot. I don't know if we apply this. Well, we do apply this to our program, but between each other, we talk about really making conscious decisions. But would you say that, and I'm not trying to toot our own horn here a little bit, but would you say most people really sit down and consciously map out how their life is going to be?
Oh, absolutely not. One of my favorite questions to ask is, what's your 5-year plan? What's your 5-year goal? What's your 10-year goal? Where do you want to be? How do you want to live? What kind of house do you want to live in? What kind of relationship do you want with your children and your spouse and your friends? And most people just give you a complete blank stare. And I get it, because I've been in that too. We get so stuck in just the daily motions and just going through those motions to try to stay on top of things, that we're so busy staying on top of things, we never get to the bottom of things. And that's been a huge shift that I've made in my life, is that I am the creator of my life. And I deliberately set intentions and I steer the ship, right? I know
exactly how we've created this business in the first place, is because we sat down and we really thought about how we would go about this, making really conscious decisions. But most people don't, even on big decisions like divorce. And so what I see as a mistake is people say, okay, well, people make decisions consciously, so I'm going to go try and use some logic or facts in order to convince the other person to come back. And really, that just doesn't go anywhere. What this means is you really cannot argue with your spouse and convince them to come back by just saying that one right thing. So sometimes I just have to kind of take a pause and just take a deep breath when I hear some of these things. And then I, gently help some of these people. But I hear things like, well, shouldn't they honor their marriage vows? Or they're married to me, that means they shouldn't be having an affair. That's wrong. Or they're supposed to work on this no matter what. We're married. And I'm able to chuckle at this a little bit when I really shouldn't, because I mean, yes, I can understand the frustration behind a lot of those comments and the sense of this loss of control, which is where a lot of these comments are coming from. But at the same time, I'm going to say, this sort of mentality where you can say, well, this is what you should be doing, why aren't you doing it, just doesn't really convince anyone. We could apply this to many other problems. I mean, don't you think, Heather? This isn't just about marriages.
Right. Well, it goes even back to what we said last week about the meth addiction. Like, that's really bad. You should probably stop. Logic isn't going to turn that behavior around. It just is going to bounce off of that, because on kind of a neurological, psychological level, like, we are programmed to go down the same paths again and again and again. And our brain's number one job is to conserve energy. So it creates what's called neural pathways, which are like highways or shortcuts in our brain. And it's going to go down the same ones that are the most rewarding, and the easiest. And so if you just kind of throw a logical statement like, well, you're married and you promised me that you would do this, it's going to say, well, reward system says I'm actually happier over here. And so I'm just going to go for it. This
is really fascinating, actually. I don't know if you guys, there's actually physical changes that happen in the brain. Like, I learned this back in these neuroanatomy classes, but you have these little paths in the brain, and it actually, as the more you use it, it builds up this little fatty tissue around these paths to make it easier to keep going down it. And so, I don't know. I feel like I'm going off on a tangent on this, but just agreeing with what you're saying there. But yeah, to go off of that, what Heather was saying is, so we have these paths that our brain builds up to go down there, keep going down this pathway. And if you just try to say, well, just do something different, it becomes really, really difficult, because you've kind of already dug this path and you need to take some time to carve out that subconscious in a different way.
Right. So just kind of recap, make their decision, right? They make a decision. They say, my wife nags me, right? They make that decision first, and then they're going to use logic and facts to back it up. And it doesn't work the other way around. You think that we would take logic and facts and then use that to make our decisions, but it doesn't happen like that. And so what we do is we build up a story and we give ourselves evidence of why it's true, even if the opposite is staring us in the face. And there's an example here where my wife is not nagging me. They still won't see it because they've chose to believe this story and it's truth to them. And the thing is that we could argue all day against their perspective, but their perspective is always true to them, just like our perspective is always true to us. So if I believe that my husband is selfish and is going to spend time with his brothers and doesn't care about me, like I started to tell myself that story I mentioned in our last podcast, then that is what I will see. And if there's one or two instances where he doesn't act that way, it doesn't matter because I still have this really strong belief, opinion about him. And we will go to our grave to defend our own stories. It's amazing what humans will do to defend our beliefs, even our own limiting beliefs, our own stories about ourselves. I'm not capable. I'm not intelligent. I'm not good enough. That's another whole level of stories that needs to shift and change that we always talk about here at High Thrive Coaching. But what I'm trying to illustrate here is that we believe our stories more than reality. Like our stories become our reality. They shape our reality. They shape our perspective. And so when we're just saying you should just leave the other person because that's immoral, or we shouldn't get divorced because our religion says no, and we should just work on the marriage because you made a vow with me, right? That is not gonna have the effect that's needed to be able to change their story and therefore change their behavior.
Yeah, well, I think I like what you said there, where they make the decision and then they try to find the facts and logic to back it up after the fact. And you can hear that in a lot of those common stories. They start feeling this sense of disconnection and they're like, well, I guess I've fallen out of love and there's no way to get that back because I don't feel it right now. And so there's nothing I can do about this. And that's absolutely true. This is logical. This is factual. I just don't have those. And they start building up this argument more and more. So the big question then is what happens, how do we start shifting this? I liked to, you know, for this podcast, I wanted to kind of put into a couple different settings because there's certainly, I think, smaller scale convincing and shifting of story. And then there's kind of a larger scale sort of situation going on. Now, obviously, the end goal is the larger scale. And if we had to put this in more technical terms, this is more like these intermediate beliefs or these core beliefs, changing that sort of thing, the deep down narrative. But certainly there's some ways that we can chip away at this and, break down some of this story, at least on the short term and in immediate sense, just a little bit. So I don't know about you, Heather. I've been really enjoying learning a lot about this sort of thing. And what I find interesting now, Heather, I don't know if everyone knows, Heather works a lot on the marketing side of our business. And I know you've been studying this a lot. And I imagine you've been learning that there's some things that really work to convince people in the short term. All right.
Yeah, sure. You can talk about the pain. You can talk about the pleasure, different things that draw people in or get them afraid that then they want to move away from that kind of pain.
Yeah. I found that there is actually some very key things when trying to convince people to do certain things, especially in relationships. And I found it interesting that after I read this, I realized I was actually doing a lot of these things with clients. And, you know, this... It was interesting to kind of read about it after the fact that after I've been already doing it, you know, but some of these things that was going on, at least in the short term, these are things that can help your kind of break it this narrative apart just briefly. I noticed that if we are giving some flattery or just, I don't like to put it like that. I like, you know, actually pulling in positive descriptions of our partner. This can really help kind of break the ice. I talk to my clients all the time about, you know, they tell me my husband, my wife has been so mean and rude lately. And I say, well, what's the side of them that would actually like things to go well, that would actually like some calm? And they go and describe that. And I said, this is the kind of person that we should be describing and the person that you should be calling out when you're interacting. My wife does this sometimes with me, and I pointed this out, and she kind of laughs. She's like, you know what? She'll tell me, she's like, I know you love me so much, and you'd love to go get me that ice cream over in the freezer. And I say, well, you know, it's hard to say no during that moment. Like, no, I don't love you. But you know, as long as these things are describing that positive side of the person and it rings true and it feels true, like there's some sincerity, this can help move it along. I don't know. Heather, can you think of like other things that might really break it down, at least on the short term?
Yeah. So I'll just give an example from my life 3 days ago. So my husband, Ben, has really been struggling with energy, physical energy and mental clarity, which is really crucial. He's a pilot and he teaches the Air Force cadets here how to fly. And for him to feel like he was losing some of his mental clarity and his situational awareness and that he had made a mistake. It wasn't major, but it was still a mistake. It's not like him. He was saying, it's not like me, but I feel like I'm, he even uses this word. Could we talk about it? He's like, I feel like I'm telling myself a story that I'm just don't have energy and I can't focus. And he's like, and see there again, I did it. I put the shampoo in my hands and I put it on my face. And I don't do those kind of things. And I'm telling myself a story that I'm becoming a different person. And so right there, he was really struggling. I know it sounds maybe kind of silly, but he was having a hard time and he was really concerned about his ability to perform at his work and to be who he thinks he should be and the person that he is. He feels like he's getting away from that. And so there I could use the absolute sincerity. Ben, I know that you can solve this. You've solved much more challenging things in the past. And I know that you can tell a new story about yourself and that you can start to see the evidence that that's true. And, you know, this is language that we're able to use with each other because we know these things. But even if I wasn't able to use that kind of language, I would be like, just look for who you really are. Look for the examples that you are mentally clear. Look for the examples that you do have physical energy and that you are capable. And so this is a way that I was able to help support him in a very genuine and sincere way. Now, it's a little more challenging if my story about him is that he's selfish or that he's
needy,
or that he's volatile. If I had that kind of opinion myself and I wanted to try to pull, and I had this evidence, you know, every time I go to my husband, he blows up. If that's the volatile story, like my husband's volatile. And now I'm trying to bring out the best in him, I have to start seeing a new side of him myself. I have to start telling myself a new story about him and a new story to him. And so what that could look like if things are starting to get volatile, I'd be like, you know, Ben, I know that we can do things a new way. I know that there is strength in you. And I know that we can find a way to communicate in a way that's respectful and kind. You know, even just a shift like that. And the more I start to say those messages, even if they feel false, I mean, really honest, like a lot of you are like, well, that's like telling a lie. Well, you know, all of our beliefs are lies. Okay. They just are. Well, it's our own perspective.
They're lies, but they're all subjective.
They're subjective. Right. Exactly. They all come from our perspective. And that's what we're trying to say is we can start to reshape our perspective and bring out the results that we actually want to see, even if it feels a little false at first, because it's not what we've seen up until this point, it can become reality. It can become the truth. And that kind of person is inside your spouse. You believe it and they will start to become it. The more they hear that, they'd be like, oh, wow, that's how she or he really sees me. They see me as a calm, strong person that acts respectfully. They will start to find that in themselves and they will start to act that way. And we will start to see them that way with consistency.
Now, in your story there, you actually hit a couple other things that I noticed when just, I mean, I know this isn't like the life or death sort of marriage problems that maybe some of our audience is seeing, but I noticed in your example, you were assuming that Ben was going to cooperate with you. And I'm guessing that, and it was already at a point when he was already talking about the problem. He was a bit at ease. And these are other things that can really just make at least the immediate moment just a little bit easier. But I do think that first thing and what you were talking about, you know, actually looking for those positive qualities in our spouse and assuming that that's the kind of person that they, you know, that they already are, that they want to be. I mean, that goes a long way. Our perspective makes a huge difference. And this kind of brings us to the grander scale of this, because all these little moments of thinking about things more positively, describing it more positively, it kind of all builds together, doesn't it? And this is where we're getting into those examples from our client Wins earlier. They're talking about being much more consistent, being much more positive, being much more calm, and, you know, actually pointing out, they didn't say this in the examples, but I'm betting that they were much more willing to point out those positive moments that they had between each other instead of looking for all the hardship and all the problems. I don't know. Do you think that, I'm wondering here, I feel like a lot of these little moments kind of play into this so much. What do you think, Heather?
You mean like the little moments of these positive interactions and recognizing that they're positive, building up bigger changes?
Yeah, like, all the little positive moments, all the describing the positive changes, all the, you know, really calling attention to those times when things are a little bit easier, all these, what we were just talking about.
Right. Yeah, it is like baby steps. I liked how Angie said that. It is baby steps and it is consistency, and you have to be in it for the long haul. And how do you have the energy and the stamina to do that? You must be committed to the bigger vision, your bigger purpose, your bigger why, and what it really means to you, so that you can keep having that consistency to take one step after another.
I do think that a big portion of this is really, you know, while we say that a lot of the decisions are subconscious, I do think that if you're going to turn things around, you know, like we were talking about with us and our business and a lot of other things in yours and my life, you do need to make those conscious decisions about how you're going to change things. And, you know, I one of the exercises that I go over with just about every, no, I would say that every client is helping them come up with their own story, their own version of how things happened. And then helping them, you know, instructing them on how to be really confident in that story, how to be very, confident, assertive with all that. It actually reminds me of this amusing situation that I had. This was on my honeymoon. You know, an example of someone with confidence and assertiveness. My wife and I, we actually got conned on our honeymoon.
Oh, no.
We were out, I think it was something like $150. It wasn't like a huge, it wasn't like bank breaking or anything. But so we had family that was kind enough to give us a vacation over in Belize. So we were off on this island. It was a wonderful experience, but we were in like the main little town there, and we were checking out some like little pamphlets or something. And this guy just kind of walks into the booth where the pamphlets are, says, "You guys look like you could, you know, really, you're really interested in some of these things." And he was just talking to us about the different services and the different experiences from the pamphlets. He'd probably looked at the pamphlets before. I'm going to make this really short. He didn't work for any of these companies.
Oh.
And so he said, "Hey, you know what? Well, you know, we'll send a boat over to your area. This is the thing. We wanted to go do this cave tubing activity. We'll send a boat over to pick you up in the morning. Great. We just need a deposit of this money here, and we'll get the rest of the payment later." But he was really assertive, really confident, confident that we would have a lot of fun and that, you know, he could help us. What I'm saying here is that amount of consistency with the story. Now, this is a very short-term sort of interaction, but it plays out really well in the long term as well.
Right. When we go back to talking about those neural pathways, right, the neural connections that we go down and they become really, really strong, right? But it's absolutely fascinating that we can reshape our brains. And neuroscience now shows us, in fact, you can look this up on YouTube. It's like a 1 minute clip, just like show a new neural connection being made or a new neural pathway dying. And you can actually see it under, I don't know if it's a microscope or whatever they're looking at these brain cells with and these nerves. But you can actually see the old connection break off and a new connection being made. and the old one kind of becomes, you know, dormant and withers away. It doesn't ever go away, but it becomes dormant and the new connection becomes stronger. And that's actual physical evidence that we are changing our brains. Literally, we're changing the structure of our brains and that we can adopt new beliefs. As we give that story more and more evidence that it's true, my husband is calm, I am deserving of love, I am good enough, any of those things, then that becomes the dominant belief. And then it becomes subconscious. So 10% of our 10% of what we do is controlled by our conscious mind. 90% is controlled by our subconscious mind. So being assertive, being confident, knowing what we want, telling new stories to both us and our spouse, right, is what that 10% is. And then given time and giving that evidence that it's true allows us to harness the power of the other 90%, which means now we're using our full mind's capabilities in the direction of what we want. That way we're not fighting ourselves anymore. We're not subconsciously self-sabotaging ourselves anymore. And that's truly who we become. And that's how you transform as a person. That's how you transform a relationship as well. And that's the, I say, the beauty and the power of what we do is that we don't just work with the 10%. We don't just work with the action, but we actually work on how to reprogram and recondition our minds. And then how we can also use that to help tell our spouse a new story. So being consistent with a positive story is crucial. And I wanted to read this comment here. I have found that giving my husband understanding and trying to see things from his perspective has gone a long way so far. Mm-hmm. So again, that understanding about what his story is, what his perspective is, and appreciating that, acknowledging that, and working together on that, really does go a long way. And that's one of the very first steps of our PATH method.
Heather, I feel like we're just scratching the surface on this topic. There's so much. We could probably have an entire podcast just on this.
I agree.
we could certainly fill this with multiple episodes if we want, or, you know, multiple trainings and whatnot. But unfortunately, we're getting to the end of our time. And I do want to get to our myth buster. So, you know, if you're wanting maybe perhaps, you know, more information on this, let us know in the comments and maybe we'll do some more episodes on this topic, because it is such an important thing to start shifting in the relationship.
Right. And if you're listening to the replay of this on iTunes or Spotify or wherever else this is being shared, then go ahead and visit us at highthrivecoaching.com and you can connect with us over there or in the Thriving Marriage Facebook group here. We have over 20,000 members as of this date, which is so exciting. And we're really excited about that. So our marriage myth buster is that it takes years of therapy to save a marriage. So Mark, why is this one completely false?
All right. So I get where this comes from. I completely understand because, you know, you get into this sense where like, okay, it took years to get to a point where I could trust this person, where I could be very close with them. And then it's all kind of gone away. You know, a lot of this trust has disappeared. And I think that's really what people are talking about, you know, like where it takes years to of therapy to change or to save a marriage. My opinion is marriages can, you know, they have the possibility of being saved quite quickly with the right method. Here's the thing. You know, you need a few things for some quick turnarounds. And this is where I think a lot of other programs might go wrong. You and I, Heather, we talk a lot about root issues and versus symptom issues. And I think that especially when you just address the symptoms, this is what ends up taking forever. If, you know, sometimes I would get really, you know, way back when I was, you know, working in other fields, you know, I'd get someone in that was like having a lot of depressive thoughts, dealing with depression or some other sort of issue like that. And I'd get frustrated that, okay, we just kind of talk about how they're sad and the kind of thoughts that they have. And I myself was guilty of doing this for a long time without really dealing with the root issues with some of these clients. And I find that if we get right down deep into what's actually needed, and address what's going on there, it's so much easier. I believe we were talking about needs the other week, weren't we? We're at least in another episode. And I think this is the most simple way for me to start to figure out kind of root issues is, you know, getting down to needs. Other things that really help speed this along is instead of just dwelling on the problems, like I hear time and time again, people come into to talk to me and they say, we went to marriage counseling and all we did was rehash the same problems over and over again. Instead of doing that, focusing on solutions. Like, okay, here's the problem. Good. I'm glad we understand that. And now let's figure out what to do about it. I do think, you know, that it's good to understand. It's good to take time to figure out what's going on, but not very helpful to just keep dwelling on it. And then even further.
I remember just real quick, Mark, just so many clients come to us and they've been in counseling for 20 years, 20 years, and not making any progress. Or people whose, you know, their spouse is pulling away and they've been in counseling or therapy for 8-10 months and things are only getting worse. And in that situation, time is not on your side. It's something that you don't have the ability to afford. And so it's really crucial that instead of just talking about the problems and talking about the problems and talking about the problems and our childhood problems and all these problems, that we get some action plans, that we get some steps implemented to create real change. Not just the surface level change, but that deeper change.
I get where it's coming from, though. You know, I don't know if everyone knows all the history. I'm sure everyone's heard of Freud, though. Freud, he's kind of the father of modern psychology. And his big emphasis was looking back on childhood problems and seeing roots there. There's so many better ways of going about things, though. And for some reason, we just kind of get stuck in that. But anyways, I want to touch on this other thing here. Because beyond addressing root issues and focusing on solutions, you know, I feel like where people get really stuck is I mentioned this already, the issue of trust or intimacy. And they say, well, you know, trust is broken. It's going to take years for this to get better. And I would say, yes, that's true. If you're just letting it go and letting it be, if you're not doing anything about it, but there is like a mechanical process. This might sound odd in terms of relationships, but there's a mechanical process for building up trust and intimacy. If you actually can help boost that natural process along, you can actually build up trust pretty quickly. It takes some concerted effort and it takes some courage a bit. But does it take years of therapy to save a marriage? It doesn't have to.
No. And going back to the beginning, it does take consistency and time using the right method, which will help you get there. But it doesn't take years and years and years of talking about the same problems and never actually solving them. So I see a lot of you here in the comments that you want more. You want, yes, root issues. I want to understand the root issues. Yes, I do too. I do too. Yes, this is a great topic. So much to cover. More, please. Steps, action plans to create real change. Time is of the essence. So absolutely, if you're wanting more help with that, please reach out to Mark and I. And if you would like to get on a free breakthrough call with us, that is something that we offer to go over what the next best steps for you are. We help you uncover what the root issues are so that then we can solve those issues at the roots and create real change. Like I said, our program is fundamentally based upon creating that deeper inner change in us, because once we start to change that internal story, do some subconscious change as well, then the external results will start to be what we want them to be. And so I would like you to think about that for a minute. I want you to really connect with where you want your marriage to go. Don't be like those people that I'm like, what's your 5-year plan? Where do you want your marriage to be in 5 years? And I'm like, I can't even think about getting through Friday, right? Give yourself the most powerful gift that you can give yourself, which is the gift of intention and the gift of clarity and the gift of focus. Imagine your best, happiest, most ideal marriage. Imagine coming home, feeling close, feeling safe, feeling connected, feeling healed, and feeling happy to be together, right? Knowing that your spouse wants to be with you, knowing that you have an incredible future ahead of you. Imagine how you would sleep at night. Imagine how you would wake up in the morning. What would the look on your face be? What would the look on your partner's face be? What kind of example do you want to be to your children? Don't settle for what's in front of you right now, because life is too short and it's too precious to settle for what you're in right now.
I'll have to say that
do better, and we can always achieve more.
Yeah. Intentionally going about my relationship with Jen has been the best thing for our marriage. It's absolutely made worlds of difference in helping us to be happy together. So, you know, what Heather said, yes.
Yeah. So I see some of you have a call on Wednesday, and someone said the best phone call you can make. I'm going to put this up here on our comments. Best phone call you can make, just to give yourself that gift of clarity, that gift of knowing, how can I get there? It seems so far. Heather, I like what you're saying, and part of me wants to believe it, but the other part's like, it feels too difficult. Choose what you want. You are the captain of the ship. Don't let life steer you and rip you to shreds, because it will, unless you take charge. I've been there myself, and I know what it's like. And the other side is absolutely beautiful. And you can meet the challenges of life with grace, with peace, with wisdom, and with strength. Not that it makes life perfect or easy sailing. It's not the point. The point is that we find our inner power and our inner strength. So thank you so much, Mark. I really want you to go back through this, everyone, and think about what you learned today. What were the biggest insights that you had? What aha moments did you have? What mistakes maybe have you been making that now you're committed to doing better, that you're not going to feed into the same story anymore, that it's hopeless or it's impossible, but that you are going to carve out a new way that will bless you and your family? And I want you to think about this. This is deep. It's not just you, and it's not just your spouse, and it's not even just your children. There are generations of time that will be affected by the choices that we make now. So who do we want to be? And let's move in that direction. So next week, we're going to share with you a crucial step to save your marriage, which is that time we talked about, that time and that consistency. If your spouse is pushing for divorce or separation, then we're going to show you how to slow down and stop the divorce and give yourself that time, like how to actually get your partner to agree to do that. Just like my friends did this week, and I'm so proud of them. They have agreed to now both work on the relationship and stop the divorce process, whereas they'd already had papers signed. And so it's a huge turnaround, and we want to show you how you can do that yourself. By getting 6 months of time, you greatly increase your ability to fully restore the marriage and get your spouse back. So we will see you all next time. Thank you.
All right, see you, everyone.
Thanks for listening to The Thriving Marriage, your A to Z blueprint for not just surviving marriage, but thriving. Until next time, my friends, thrive on.